Welcome to Churches Planting Churches, a podcast on the theology and practice of church planting. I'm your host, Tony Marita.
Over the last few years, the so-called migrant crisis has dominated the news. Millions of people have been displaced from their home countries, primarily due to war or economic trouble. Given the sheer scale of this phenomenon, it's right that it be called a crisis. But as we ought to do with all cultural trends, the church must ask, how should we respond? Regardless of your political views, in light of the mandate to take the gospel to the nations, the church ought to see the so-called migrant crisis as an amazing gospel opportunity. We should see it as an opportunity to display the kind of hospitality and welcome that the King has extended to us. In the gospel, we are the stranger with no homeland, but the Lord Jesus has made us citizens of his glorious kingdom, all by his grace and mercy. It's that kind of love that we should be known for as the people of Christ. This is exactly what One Church in Italy has done. Today, I have Rob Krause with me on the podcast to talk about ministry among migrants and church planting in Italy. Rob is the lead pastor of Serenissima Ministries, an Acts 29 church in Italy. Rob and his family have been church planting in northern Italy for more than 20 years. Rob helps to assess and train church planters in Italy. He also serves as the European Contextualization Coordinator for Crossland Seminary. Rob, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here. And buongiorno.
Buongiorno. Thank you, brother. Not bad?
How's your Italian?
I'm working on it.
Yeah. I've seen you eat, so I know you're getting that part of the culture down.
Yes, absolutely. Rob and I are in Italy right now for a conference. He and I met in Belgrade, and he poured out his heart to me regarding ministry and migrants, and wrote a great article for us on the Gospel Coalition. And it's just been a real pleasure to get to know him a little bit more here with these guys in Italy. The A29 Italy is just really, really doing well. I'm very impressed by the leadership, the quality of guys that's here, the excitement, the brotherhood. It's just really exciting. We'll talk more about that. Rob has he's a magnetic personality. He's a really good thinker, as you're going to see here on the, or listen in on our conversation today. Can you just tell us how you ended up in Italy? You've been here for a long time. Where are you from? How did you get here?
Yes, obviously grew up in the States. My wife and I were married when we were 20 years old, dedicated our lives toward mission ministry. Wasn't much on church planting back then. And first we went to Singapore and served a couple years there. We had a dear friend, childhood friend, who was stationed up north in Italy through the military, went to visit. During that time in a trip, just to take a break together, one of the things that shocked us or surprised us was we would drive town after town, not knowing when one would start and one would finish, and just ask, where are the churches? Where are the points of light? And as 20-somethings at that stage in our marriage, we weren't ready to return back to the States after having worked so hard to raise our support, get out to the field. It was just time for a change, and we went to Italy thinking that we would do 5 years. I think back then it was purpose-driven church was all the rage, but about the only thing out there at that time. Don't cut the podcast off because I said that right now. But we said, okay, that's the thing. You do 5 years and then move on to bigger and better. So we set a date, said we'd do that. We got to that five-year mark and just passed right through it. And that was about 15 years ago. And, you know, naively, I thought back then, ambitiously, that we wouldn't see something planted and we'd go on. But the Lord just anchored us and kept us there. And now we're celebrating this year, in a few months, our 25th wedding anniversary. And I just want to praise the Lord this morning for my wife. And thank God for her, because it can be arduous and lonely at times. And she has been a source of wisdom and grace. And so I love her, and I thank God for her.
Amen. Amen. I echo that myself, brother. What would you say the state of the church in Italy is? How would you describe it?
Well, I'm a foot soldier, and so I can give you from maybe my part on the lines out there. Not necessarily saying I am an expert to be able to have my hand on the pulse of the church, because every region is so varied across Italy. But I can give you some of my impressions for this. I know that it does vary. But I think through the years, we've seen that the evangelical church is quite fractured. It is very, it fractures into camps, denominations, networks, territories, personalities, all of those things. It can become territorial. There are many churches that would classify themselves as evangelical in Italia. However, how healthy that evangelicalism is in the church, how deep the gospel is saturated into the church, there are very few that have a good, if you will, understanding, grip on the gospel, and the proclamation and explanation of the gospel. So we have our work cut out for us in that way. So there are many churches, but I think we have to look not at quantity, but maybe the quality of the churches as a, how is the state of the evangelical church in Italia?
Mm-hmm. So what kind of impact have you seen church planting in Italy have?
So in a way, one of the things that I noted was the brotherhood, as you mentioned earlier, has really grown. I would just say, let me just start in church planting within Impatto. Impatto means impact. It is the name of our church planting network here for Italia. And through the years, these 6 or 7 years that we've been forming this network, the camaraderie, the friendship and fraternity that has grown here has been wonderful. And I think church planting has an impact that it's strengthening the husbands and the wives to be best of friends all across these regions, especially when they're in lonely places and hard places. And so I could say that I've probably never seen a group of Italians and others get on so well as we have for so long in Italia. And so that really helps in the area of brotherhood. I've seen Jesus exalted more because we're concentrating more deeply. Church planting causes us not just to kind of ranch these churches, but rather that we see Jesus exalted by the mission and the focus in the gospel. We've watched materials be developed that weren't existent. And so it's not just broad materials, just what's popular maybe in the UK or in the States, mm-hmm. but rather materials that are specific to our mission, specific to church planting, come online, move more quickly, be developed and invested in better. So those are some of the things that we've seen. And also one last thing is courage. I've watched men and women pick up courage to be on those front lines in places that are centuries old. Mm-hmm. Now for the first time seeing a point of light. Mm-hmm. And to have the courage to stay there and plant there and to work there. And the church planting network has given us that.
Now, you and I were talking about last night some of your work you've been doing with content creation and helping with Crossland Seminary. Talk to us a little bit about the state of discipleship. Like when you think about whether it's the church plants in Italy, Cross 829, or other church planting groups, or traditional churches, established churches, what are the discipleship needs? Where are, you know, again, generally speaking, what is the big gap in terms of the need for content?
Yeah, in content, I think we need across, I would say, Southern Europe. This is what we found in parallel, is we need simplicity. So we can often assume too much. And so we just need to be careful not to assume too much and then bring in content that is explaining the gospel well and making sure that that we don't, again, assume our terms, mm-hmm. that people have that and that we're pressing forward. I think people often have, they're brothers and sisters and they're saved, but they don't have a vocabulary and understanding of the gospel to be able to articulate it or even to share it with their neighbor. And it hasn't maybe inspired them to live it. So they saw it for their justification, maybe not necessarily for their sanctification. So by way of discipleship, it needs to be relational, especially as we get to more warm-blooded culture. So it needs to be relational. There needs to be culture developed of discipleship and not just academic, but also supplied or helped by academic and assisted that way. So we have our work cut out for us.
Now, when you talk about relational discipleship, one of the things you mentioned last night was teaching a group of Italians, and when they started talking all at the same time, they were actually learning, and you had to take a step back and be okay with that, right?
Yes, you know, that surprised me, because I wanted order, you know, okay, let's hear everybody one at a time, let's go. And everybody would agree, okay, well, you're the leader, you said one at a time, but 1 minute later, everybody would be talking over everybody else. And then I kind of stepped back from the situation, looked and realized everybody was understanding somebody. So that's how I knew they were processing the information. What they were doing was, and I loved it. And it was a kind of a light bulb moment some years ago, that they are learning because they're voicing it out what they've been reading. And we were going through some modules of Crosslands material. And so as they were all talking all at once, I said, this is how we're processing this gospel material. And so I actually encourage those conversations, and we have to get together. And that's how I know that they're really getting it.
Transition. Let's talk about your work with refugees for a few minutes. You wrote a brilliant article for us earlier this year. If you didn't read it, it's called This Church in Italy Doesn't See Migrants as a Crisis. So Rob, expand on how the Lord has been at work through your church in this so-called migrant crisis.
Yes. Some years ago, we knew that this was coming. We just didn't know the scale or what it would be like. So we met in our homes and we prayed about it. Lord, prepare us. And it took about 2 years before we started to see migrants arriving and having these connections. And then all of a sudden, of course, 2015, they started to set up camps everywhere in old rest homes, barracks, convents, things that would have a dormitory style feel. And all of the lines of migration were saturated. So they were blocked at the base of the Alps where we are, where we live at the base of the Dolomites. And so we started to get into some of the camps and we realized we have a dual crisis here. The camps were really struggling to keep up with the load, with the amount of people. But we as ministries were really struggling because on one side, yes, you have a humanitarian crisis, but on the flip side, we have a church crisis. We don't have the healthy churches to be able to minister, to support, and to reach in yet to all of these guys. So that surprised us as we got going in the work. But then it began to take shape more and more, and we started to learn more. Our theology deepened in understanding what this was. And is this a crisis? Well, no, it is humanitarian, but it's also a gospel opportunity that's there. And so it's important to remember that in Italia, yes, they are coming across the sea, and we need to keep praying for the situation because there's a lot of slavery on the other side in northern Africa that's happening. A lot of people are still dying in the Mediterranean almost every day, and people are still arriving on these shores, even though the numbers have been cut down dramatically just recently. We see this as this gospel opportunity because Italy allows them to stay for about 2 years in these camps. So they're fed, generally cared for. We supply clothes and blankets and helps, you know, just physical things for them logistically. But then they allowed us to go in with great access to start to teach language and do kind of repair work. Many of the migrants love using their hands. They just love getting in the dirt and working and finding a way to work. But they need language classes and courses and helps, and of course the needs are varied and great. So we started there, realizing this is a dual crisis, and then basically understanding that the church, it came to our attention, the church is the best solution, by far the best solution for reaching out. It's not just about some groups would make money off of these migrants, and that's all they cared about. But we're there looking at their hearts and souls. So the organizations would say, you don't want money, you're doing this for free for these people. And we said, yeah, because this is what God's called us to do. So as they're sequestered there for about 2 years, all of a sudden for us, because they're working out their documents, whether they'll be sent back or whether they'll be approved, the great majority are approved to stay in Italy. So as we do that, we look that we have to have life skills for them. We have to love them and help them grow in all spheres. The gospel has to touch all spheres of their life because they're not, they don't understand how the work environment is in a European context. So we need to reach them, answer their questions, help them physically, spiritually, emotionally, and the Great Commission really kicks in at that point. And so then initiatives and projects have happened, and also salvations and baptisms. So we've seen some progress, yeah.
It's amazing, man. What if, you know, you mentioned people coming to faith. What does discipleship look like in once a person comes to faith, who's just been, you know, just arrived on the boat, been in one of those camps and struggles with language, I imagine, and various other theological, cultural issues. What is there something you guys take them through? Or do you match them up with a mentor? How does that work?
Yes, both. In fact, we have to slow things down. We have to realize their story formed. It's very visual. We've had wonderful experiences in walking with them. You know, a lot of these guys are dealing with ancestor worship, animism, spiritual strongholds, ideas. Prosperity theology is all over often when they come. But let me tell you, the guys have, it has to be relational and conversational as well. We do have, if you will, materials, but it's more even about the culture as we walk with them. We do try to assign them one-on-one, and we do need helpers to be able to work with each of these guys that have been baptized. But also in the stories that have taken place, the Muslim guys are now seeing how these other men are being blessed and growing. And so they're starting to ask questions about Christianity. In fact, they started to ask some of our younger Italian believers, stay with us after some of our work in our life labs, which is a soldering and welding equipping lab to get them qualified to go out into the factories and work. These guys asked, could you stay after for a few hours and answer our questions about that we have about Christianity? Because this is the first time we've ever heard anything about Christianity. I have to realize a lot of these guys, their median age are around 24 to 26 years old. And so then we like to get, work with them one-on-one, gather them in small groups. In one of the camps, it's an old convent that's not abandoned, but just not used. And so we said, can we have a meeting place? And they gave us the chapel where they trained all the old, you know, the nuns of centuries ago. And so there's this old chapel from the 1400s filled with immigrants being discipled, trained on hand. And they said, please just don't steal the icons and the statues. And we said, we know we're not interested. So it's just really a great experience to be in this old room and just watching these guys learn to praise the Lord, answering their questions, getting down with them and holding conversations for 2-3 hours. So I just want to say our guys, and that we have a mixed group of Italians, some other guys from other nations that are all working in these camps, and God has given us just a blessed team coming into these different camps in our area.
That's amazing. So a couple questions related to that. Have you seen guys really be discipled, go deep, perhaps they even have a calling to ministry, church planting? Do you have dreams of that? Talk to us about maybe leadership development among these new Christians.
So one of the things we notice of the gospel is that it slows the immigrant down that's coming. Usually the motive is, I need to come earn some kind of money. So there's a dream that Europe can provide much more money than what we have for our tribe. And then they are sent by their family or their tribe, and then they have to provide and send money back. So there's a lot of pressure on them. They've left families and children, etc. And what happens is the gospel, as they start to learn the gospel and see it, it slows them down and turns them back around in the sense that they start to grow in reverse mission, a burden for their people. Now, remember, this is, we're 2 years in the making, so it's early. I'm just giving you early experiences every day that are coming out. Yes, that is one of our dreams, that we would see that we could give them a training, a life, maybe some life skills, that they could even go back with some training, maybe set up some work, planted with the gospel and really invest in them so they can also reach their people in a sense of reverse mission, so that they have a new burden back for those who are hurting from where they've come. We have seen that just now in these last few months. One of our brothers who was baptized just last year, we have found jobs for a number of these guys, but one of them received a contract now for 5 years, which is quite an accomplishment. The Italian boss of the factory is so impressed with him, and said, you can stay as long as you want, I'll help you out. And so now he gets to exit the camp He is able to rent an apartment, and he said, I want to rent an apartment where we are planting our next church. Mm. So one of the guys is going through the assessment. He's finishing up, but he has one of the migrants that he helped bring to Christ waiting for him to, in the city, renting an apartment so he can help plant that church. And he said, I want to help reach out to other guys who are coming from the countries where we've come from. So we have guys from Persia, Bangladesh, Pakistan, all the way through to multiple countries across Africa. And so it's quite a mix. But that's the aspect of reverse mission. God's humbled him. He's changing him by the gospel. He's being discipled weekly for months. And now we can start to see this burden now for others that are coming to share the gospel with them.
Man, I love that, bro. So what of churches in the States, other parts of Europe, other parts of the world who are hearing this story, they want to help? How can we help?
Okay. So there are ways and to be able to do short-term needs. If you have a special skill that can work on, I would think like welding or soldering, if you have a way to really get down conversationally to answer Bible questions, Bible stories, to disciple, maybe interfacing with Muslim questions, like I was saying, just being with them and being their friends, maybe trauma counseling, psychological things. They're facing so many issues. Those are all things where we can provide care and then life skills. So we would like, we are setting up life labs, we call them. And these are experiences where they are getting training and certification so that they know how to deal with the safety measures that Italy requires, language measures that Italy requires, and then get out into the workforce. And we just at times need people to be alongside of them to help see them through this, to journey through this as they're going. So we need resources. That's just obvious to be able to open these life labs and care for the brothers who are investing their time in that. And then also workers. And we need prayer. There are things that are way beyond us. This is not just a problem to tackle. This is a journey to understand and to learn. And so we really do need prayer. And we need our churches, maybe in the States or the UK or other places, to gain an interest and walk with us in burden and to learn about these areas. So there's just maybe some ways. Yeah, keep reading about it. Keep being interested. Yeah. Mm.
I want to circle back in a moment to see how guys can connect with you if they do want to help. Sure. Last question. I like to ask this question to our guests frequently is just, you're a busy guy. You're obviously a productive guy. What does a week look like for you? How do you do it? Share with us. How old are you now, Rob?
45.
45. Okay. So you've been at it for a while. This podcast goes out to a lot of young aspiring planters and guys who just started the work. What are two or three things you share with kind of the young planters, from your own experience? What would you say are these things you guys really make sure you're focusing on?
Yeah. It's hard in pioneering situations because Italy is a pioneering area. There's not a understanding of the gospel. There are terms that are used of the gospel, but definitions that are different. So it's a long-term walk. Italy took many centuries to get like this. Depending on the area where young planters are, look at how long the Lord might just settle you and be okay with that. You might be, if you will, playing by different rules. In some cases, the gospel might plant much more quickly and much more easily in certain other areas. And you hear about other brothers, maybe that you went to school with, and they're seeing these different successes or larger ministries. Just give that to Christ. Because he has you there. He is worthy of your work and your weaknesses and your efforts. So it's very hard to have rhythms. But one of the rhythms we established after a number of years, because I was pulling 35, 40 days straight on a young marriage. Our children were born in Italia. They were young kids. And I had the energy and the call to be able to do that, to just run. And so in the stress of that, the agony of it. And we didn't even have a network like Impatto around us. And my counsel to young guys is get a day established where your kids know at least that day you're going to eat well with them. Don't drive around, don't shop, you know, those kind of things. But do something in the yard with them. Appreciate things around them. Appreciate what the work's already been done, that they have access to you. You know, just let it be Sabbath, if you will, in that way, in regular rhythms. That really helped and encouraged and strengthened our marriage. I would say also be really careful, guys, to listen to your wives. In the responses that they have, if they need more time, then that's the special lady that God has given to you. Work with them in that, just in their wisdom. Be really attentive to that, because they're in it with you for that long haul, and you need that. You need that strength down the way. A lot of it is the grace of God. And just keep reading about men who went in difficult situations and went through that. Let that inspire you before the Lord, and learn limits, and keep asking God for humility. But know there's a harvest to come. Mm. The kingdom promises that. Mm. We go forward sowing in tears, and it might be years for the people's grandchildren that we're reaching to. Mm. Have a long vision of the land for them.
Amen. That's awesome, brother. Rob, how can the listeners keep up with you? How can they get in touch with you? I know you're not on Twitter, which is probably why you're so godly and productive.
waiting for the Twitter fad to pass. You know?
Do you have email? Anything like that? You may not want to give your email, but is there a website or something where people can get linked up with you?
Yeah, we've actually, for updates, we've begun a new website. It's at smgi.org, and you'll see the Serenissima story, and these are updates that come out. You can subscribe to those. We try to put little interview video clips, pictures, updates, just ways that you can connect and follow that. And then from there, you can feel free to write us and connect with us. We do have a ministry kind of Facebook page where you can share stories with others and champion the stories that are going on out here. Yes, feel free to write us. We'll try to get back to you as best we can, or put you in contact with someone who can. And we're really grateful that we're bringing interest, because God's calling people by his name from all over the nations here. Mm-hmm. Never expected to be reaching to Pakistanis, Afghanis, all over Africa, et cetera, and Italians all at once and together. So please do connect with us, and feel free to write us and check that out there on the site. And then maybe one day on Twitter. We'll
SMGI.org. Rob Krause, ministering in Northern Italy. Grateful for his work here in Italy as he cares for immigrants, and also his example for those around the world who are experiencing a similar opportunity. Caring for sojourners is a reflection of God's own concern for the stranger, as we see throughout the scriptures. We as Christians should be the ones identifying with the stranger, as we are the ones with no homeland, but Jesus has welcomed us into the kingdom of heaven, and we are told to love our neighbor as ourselves. And we, as the people of God, have a history of really pouring out compassion to a broken world in need. And in many periods of history where the gospel's really expanded has been when the church has put this kind of compassion on display. So I pray that we would prioritize the Great Commandment and the Great Commission as we have these kinds of opportunities, and follow the lead here of my brother Rob.
Yeah. You know, Jesus, his kingdom is one that actually invites people into his land. Hmm. Not just figures out whether you're worthy enough to stay or not, et cetera, but he says, come, compel them to come in. Hmm. And that Great Commission should take hold of our hearts first and foremost.
Amen.
So they're already there. So help us love them.
Amen.
So thank you, Tom.
Amen. Thanks for being on the podcast, brother.
Grazie.